22nd, Charter's birthday, yeah, 22nd.
Huh. That's a memorable day in history, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That same date as JFK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's November 22nd, and we're talking to Terry and Cindy McDermott. As always, I just like to start off with you guys and give us some your memories regarding, first of all, how you got started. Let's go back to your school days. How about some of those days, Cindy?
That's with you.
Well,
I went to the good Catholic school. I went to St. Joseph Farley for 12 years. And you were there when I was in high school.
Okay.
I don't remember. What'd you teach? English?
Social studies.
Social studies. I don't think I ever had you for a teacher, though.
What year did you graduate?
Graduated 72.
Okay. See, I left in 70, so I would have been there for probably your first 2 years.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you were with the good presentation sisters?
That's right. Sister Angela, Sister Wilfred. She was my favorite. and then met this guy when I was a senior. And
so, Terry, you were the same year? Or?
No, I graduated in 68.
From
West Dubuque.
West Dubuque.
Okay. Okay, so how did you guys get connected?
I kind of met him through his brother Randy. I hung around with Randy a lot and kind of met him through Randy. And he was in the Navy.
Navy veteran?
Yeah. I got out in November of 71. I was on active duty for 2 years. I had a year of meetings, 2 years active, and then 2 years of meetings after that, and then 1 year inactive, so.
So yeah, had a lot of good experiences there.
Oh yeah, I made some
travel.
Pretty good friends. The only thing bad about the whole experience was is my dad died when I was in the middle of the Atlantic, and I didn't know that he was even that sick. He was in a lot of pain when I left, but I just thought he was having issues with his back, but it was cancer, and that was back in 71.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know much about cancer then. And 3 days before he passed away, while they took him to Iowa City, and they diagnosed him with cancer then.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I made some pretty good friends and got to travel a lot while I was in there.
Okay.
Some crazy experiences.
A few I've heard of and a lot I haven't heard of.
So once you got out of high school, Cindy, where did you move on from there?
Let's see. What did I do after high school? I think I babysat a lot and worked for the telephone company for a little while. I wasn't crazy about being a telephone operator back then. and then I graduated in 72. We got married in 74. And during my first year of married, I worked for West Dubuque, actually, with the handicapped program with Jane Wagner.
Okay.
And Liz Lynch. Yeah.
Okay.
So I did that until I became pregnant, and then I was sicker than a dog. And didn't do much after that. For about the first 6 months, I was pretty sick. And then had Lori. And then a year later had John. And then 3 years later had Rachel.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I started working for the post office and worked for them. Yeah. I worked Farley, Dyersville, Epworth, Holy Cross, Cheryl, Yeah. And I worked for 15 years. Hurt my back. 70-pound bags were pretty heavy to lift all the time. And then just quit, and I don't think I did anything after that for a long time. Started working with, well, I became part of the Western Dubuque Booster Club.
Okay. And what time was did you start? In the 80s?
The kids in high school?
The kids were still in school. God, I can't think.
I know you did it for like about 13 years.
I did for 13 years.
Well, you were doing it when I was there, because it was either Larry or I called you for this, that, or the other thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I dealt with you and Larry quite a bit.
Right, might have been about the time the kids got into high school that you...
I think because I was on the Booster Club for a while, you know, I was on the Booster Club a couple of years, and then I became the treasurer, and then I was the treasurer for the rest of the time I was on. God, I can't think of years, but well, I know the kids were in high school.
It must have been like the early 90s.
Yeah, we were doing the, you know, the fundraiser, like the $100 banquet every year, pretty
yeah.
much at that
yeah.
time. And, of course, the concession stand at the football field.
Yeah, we worked the concession stand every home football game. I had to laugh because I was thinking about that the other day, and I thought, oh, yeah, we used to have what I would call chili dogs, and then we were told we couldn't call them chili dogs because that was a copyrighted thing. I said, okay, then we'll call them bobcat dogs. And so that's what we called them.
Really? I didn't remember that. That's cool.
Yeah, they were, you know, and it actually wasn't, we didn't even put chili on them. We put the sloppy joe on them that I made.
To me, that's chili.
No. No, we had chili besides that.
Oh, yeah, I think you did, yeah.
Trying to think who made us a chili. Mickey, or no, the gals in the lunchroom, I think, made the chili.
Okay.
Well, Mickey Wagner might have been part of that, though.
Yeah, she was your cook, your cook. She was there before the games and stuff, cooking stuff.
Yeah, because then after 13 years, something happened with a friend of ours, and I decided I needed to help him more than be involved with that. But one of the things that I'm the most proud of is getting the track done while I was in there. And,
okay.
One of the funny things that happened with the track was kind of during the, well, towards the end of getting the track done, we had the bleachers were getting set. We had to do the press box on top of the bleachers. And I had a pulmonary embolism, and I ended up in the hospital for a week, flat on my back. But I got out, and a couple days after I got out, and I was doing okay. And a couple days after I got out, I knew that they were going to put the press box on top. And I had organized with Teglers over in Dyersville to come over and do it. So I told him, I said, take me down there. I said, you can drive me up in the car to the top of the hill, and I can just sit in the car and watch this. So that's what we were doing. And they put it up there, and it wasn't getting attached. And then pretty soon they put it back down in the ground. And I thought, what the hell's going on here? So all the coaches, McCready, Finley, all the coaches, Larry Conrad, I think, was there. And I got out of the car to walk over and ask them what's going on here. And they all started walking away from me. And they ended up in the back side of the building. And I kept walking. I wanted to find out what was going on. That was, to me, that was my baby. I was kind of in charge of getting things done. And I wanted to make sure everything was getting done. And I finally they stopped, and McCready came over by me, and he says, I said to him, I said, what's going on? And he said, it doesn't fit. And I said, it doesn't fit. And so I took my phone out, called the people up in, I think, Monona is where we had it made. And I said, what's going on? I said, they're here to put the press box up and it doesn't fit. They'll send somebody down right away. Well, it's going to take a good hour or so to get down from Monona. So anyway, they came down. Some guy looked at it. And what they had done was, we did not order it with trimmer on the bottom. And they decided it would look nice to put black trim around the bottom. And by doing that, then it wasn't going to fit on the bleachers. The guy, you know, that did the bleachers. So I said, okay, what are you going to do about it? And they said that they could go into Menards and get what they needed to fix it and be able to do it tomorrow. Okay, that's what we did. But I had to laugh at McCready talking to him later. I said, why did you guys keep walking away from me? He says, you took that way better than we thought you were going to. We thought you were going to blow your stack and you just got out of the hospital. I said, no, don't do no good to blow your stack for something that serious.
So what year was that? That was...
Oh, God, that was...
2000s?
How long has the track been there? We were gone. Well, we're back here. We were gone for... I was gone for 3 years. We're back here for... 16, so it's about 19 years ago.
Okay.
Something like that.
Sounds about right.
19 or 20 years ago. But anyway, it was something we needed to get done. We actually, the Booster Club wanted to do, you know, the raise money for the gym. And in talking with Harold, Harold said, no, he says, we're going to get that on a bond issue.
Yeah.
And I just laughed and I said, no, you're not. And they didn't the first time they tried either. I said, okay. Then I told the Booster Club board that. And I said, what if we did the track? We really need the track.
Because before that, we were having your track meets in at Loris or someplace?
They were having them someplace else, I think. Yeah. The only kind of track we had around there at the time was a limestone.
Limestone, that was... Yeah. That was there for a long, long time. Yeah, that was the original, you know, setup.
Yeah.
But
I remember running on that when I was in high school in the late 60s.
Horsefields did a lot of donated work on that. I mean, everything. A lot of it was donated.
Yeah, it was interesting because during that period of time from... let's say 1970 on, well, it was decided, no, they finally committed to a football program. That's when that got started, the early 70s. And I was at the middle school at that time, junior high, but later on I found out that there was the discussion as to where they're going to locate that football field. Was it going to be up on the hill or was it going to be down in the lower area? And I guess it was Buck's decision to put it up on the hill.
Oh yeah?
That's why it's up there. And so the coaches always called it the Stadium of Perpetual Breeze.
Yeah.
Because man, you know, when you walked up that hill in the spring for track, or in the fall for football, and it was blowing, man. It was uncomfortable. That was kind of frustrating in those years because we really didn't get a whole lot of support from the maintenance end of it as far as they put the original football field in, and they sort of eyed it up without a whole lot of precision.
Yeah.
What happened was that the north east corner was a little bit low. and it was not well crowned. Most football fields are, you know, have a crown to it. Mm-hmm. This thing was not crowned, and so there was a water drainage problem. And I remember finally talking to Tom Kilberg, and I said, you know, we need to do something to improve that. So it was the end of the football season in, let's say, I think it was like 83 or 4. And I had talked to Dave Barr, which was telling him we needed some dirt to crown the football field. And, well, he said you can have, I think it was 3 loads. And 3 loads is like pissing in the ocean.
Yeah, really. I was going to say, that ain't very much dirt. And,
anyway, as it turned out, I had Jerry Onstetter bring this dirt in, and Dave Barr was gone to some kind of a meeting. And I told him to just keep bringing the dirt.
And we're going to do this right if we're going to do it.
He did. And I don't know what it took, but we got it crowned. And then we raised that corner of the northeast corner. And I'll tell you, we had a great fall for seeding. And it was, it was just in good shape the next year for the season.
Jerry Onstetter was a good guy. I had him do some work around my house at one time, and he just... Awesome.
Yeah, I grew up knowing him.
Yeah, Jerry.
He was a good guy.
Jerry was amazing. He was an active guy up until the day he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did the tiling around the house, and he only charged me like $25 an hour with that backhoe. I'm like, man, this is just unbelievable what he charged us. I mean, anybody else probably would have been $100 an hour.
Well, sure.
But he was a hell of a guy.
Yeah. You had some pretty good memories when John was playing some basketball.
Yeah.
What do you remember about those years?
I remember I loved to watch basketball. I still love to watch. And I love to watch high school sports. Still to this day, we watch high school. And now we've got grandkids that are in high school sports. But... yeah, that was fun. Having the kids to the house the night before the game and making a big spaghetti. I always just used to call it spaghetti casserole because I just made a big pan of it and put it in the oven because you never really knew when they were going to show up to eat. But stuff like that, you really miss it. After they're gone, you miss it a lot.
Yep.
But, it was exciting.
That was quite...
Them getting beat, first game of districts, was a big, big disappointment.
I mean, their senior
in
year.
More ways than
one. Yeah, they were undefeated until that district game.
I vividly remember we're playing West Delaware at home.
They must have shot about 70% from the field. They were just... they couldn't miss...
But then at the same time, the following spring, we were playing West Delaware in baseball.
And they were rated number 2 in the state.
Yeah, and John pitched a one-hitter against them, and they beat him 1-0. Yeah. So that kind of...
yes.
It was payback.
Was payback, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the kids are always in sports. Lori was in show choir.
Softball.
Right.
Oh, wrestling. She did wrestling stats for 4 years.
She played softball.
Oh, yeah, softball too. Duh. That's right. So, yeah, they kept me busy. Running here, running there. And I have to laugh at John now because John has 4. 2 are in high school. 1 is 8th grade. And then Anthony is 4th grade, maybe? 5th grade? He's the youngest of all of them. And every once in a while, John will say to me, geez, he says, we got to run here, we got to run there.
Really?
I said, oh, yeah? Well, they actually almost split time, you know, because Tate's playing here and Meredith is playing here and Emerson is playing someplace else, so they kind of split. John will go here, Carrie will go here, you know. But his kids are more runners than they are anything. His son Tate plays soccer. I think soccer is his favorite thing to do. But
they live in
Grimes. They go to Dallas Center Grimes, which I kind of like that when they moved to Grimes. And then John told me that's where they were going to be going to school. And he says, Mom, you know what colors they are? Red and black. I said, oh, okay, that's cool.
But, you know, that metro area down there, we took a kind of a fall trip in October and hooked around in the western area and went down to see the bridges of Madison County in that area. And anyway, we're driving back and we drove in from the west into Waukee, and my God, it's massive. It's just a big metro area all the way around Des Moines.
You talk about it being windy up there on top of that hill. I pretty much worked in the concession stand the whole night, mostly doing hot chocolate. Back then, we had to take hot water off the stove and put it in the hot chocolate machines. And when she was, they only had one at first, I think, but then you talked to, we got to get a second one, so then they got two of them. So then I was really running back and forth. That was back before now they probably have it more modern like that. You don't have to carry water and stuff. But
right, I'm sure.
I'm like, well, I enjoyed staying in there because it was warm.
Right.
In there, you were, I think they pretty much opened only one of the doors on the west side and mostly served the people out of the south side so they wouldn't have that west wind coming in there to make everybody cold. And yeah, I kind of, she'd go out and sit down for a while, I think, because she couldn't stand or something at that point, you know, and I just thought, I'm going to stay in here where it's warm. You can go out there if you want.
Well, I went out to watch the game.
Yeah, you'd go out and watch the game. I'm just...
John talked us into, we had a deal with John. If he didn't play football, he could go to any basketball camp he wanted to go to. So that worked for 3 years.
Okay.
The fourth year didn't work.
He wanted to play football.
And I just told Kilberg, I said, if he gets hurt, I'm going to kick your ass. So anyway, he played football the last year, and I liked to watch him when I could watch him.
Did Conrad play too?
Yeah, Conrad played.
Football?
Conrad played all 4 years.
Football?
Yeah. Mike, I think, I'm pretty sure he did, didn't he?
I thought he just played the last year with John.
I don't remember him playing football.
I guess I don't. I know he played at least 1 year with John, but I guess I don't remember if he played all four.
Yeah, I think it was just the last year. I think I remember that for some reason. You know, I was watching the football playoffs from the Unidome last night. They record them and play them again, and I just thought those kids from Iowa are so fortunate to have that Unidome to play football.
That'd be miserable game to have outside that time of year.
Oh my God! And that's what happens in those other states. They don't have
those dome
facilities.
Unless they could talk like a pro team, like the Bears or somebody, into letting their kids from Illinois play in that or something.
Yeah.
But. With Lori being in show choir, her son Aiden has been in show choir. This is his fourth year. He's a senior, going to graduate this year. But he's been in show choir. And the difference between show choir when Lori was in show choir and show choir now is like 100% bigger, better.
Yeah.
You know?
There's more.
You have to try out
more kids
down there. And yeah. He goes to Linmar. So I just think that's kind of neat.
My two granddaughters went to Linmar.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And, I was impressed with Linmar.
I am, too, actually. I am pretty impressed with Linmar.
And it sounds like from what's happening with the population in the building, there's going to be another high school down there.
Yeah, they got like five now or six?
Yeah, five, I think, with Xavier. But that area from Marion North Mm-hmm. Just kind of exploding.
Yeah, they're growing and growing and growing.
And
well, they are.
Anyway.
Well, the thing I'm looking forward to is our one granddaughter. She won state in cross country the last in 7th grade and 8th grade. And I'm looking forward to seeing what she does in high school. She's got a sister that's going to be a senior, and she's going to be a freshman. But I'm willing to bet my house that she's going to beat her time.
Emerson, without a doubt, will be on the varsity team.
Okay. This for, is DC, right?
DC, yeah.
Okay.
They'll both be running for cross country.
She's is that 3A, 4A?
3A.
3A, I think.
Yeah, 3A.
So that's the same as West Dubuque, as far as football.
Yeah, because I watched Eli Nauman running.
Okay.
And who was the other kid? There was another kid from West Dubuque.
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, the girl. What was the girl's name? A bogey, I think.
Yeah. But our grandson Tate went from like 38th place last year to like 10th this year or something like that?
He got 10th this year, yeah.
So he'd be... Hopefully he'll move up in the top 10 next year.
Last year he was really sick, though. Oof. He barely finished last year.
My oldest granddaughter, Caitlin, ran for Linmar. And when they qualified for state, we went out to Fort Dodge to...
Mm-hmm. That's where we went this
for
year.
That. And what a nice, awesome place to go for.
Yeah, it is.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it's fun. That's what we did during COVID. We went to the outdoor things, you know, we'd go to the ball games and sit out in the outfield by ourselves and watch. Didn't do much for basketballs.
Yeah.
We did go to Indiana. Rachel lives in Indiana, and Simon is playing 8th grade basketball there, and I was a little bit leery about going in and a gym and watching, but we kind of stayed away from people in there.
We're at in Indiana.
She lives in Highland, which is south and west kind of Gary.
Okay, so yeah. It's kind of in the outer Chicago area.
Yeah.
She's not
very
takes
far
her,
from Chicago.
Yeah, half an hour or so to go to Chicago. If you go on the interstates and... So he's doing basketball then right now.
Okay. Well, I see him on Facebook all the time.
All the stuff we put on?
Stuff.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's a little bit special to us, I guess.
When we were in Alabama, we were able to watch the West Dubuque girls playing the volleyball. They just streamed that video down there, and Becky was able to pick it up.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
Now I'm waiting to see what they do in basketball. Because they won softball, they won volleyball.
Yep.
Now we got basketball.
I don't know.
Actually, they did pretty good in track, too, for that matter.
Yeah.
In cross country, they did pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I like to open up the Telegraph Herald every day and see West Dubuque kids plastered all over the sports page. I just think
different.
I remember when the decision was made to go into the Valley, that Jeff Corkery and Larry were just besides themselves, that there was no way we could ever compete with the Valley teams. And I mean, take a look what happened, and it's amazing. So that's kind of a myth that died, and one of the good things, is from Piasta here is all the kids can go to the rec center.
Right.
I mean, wow, what an opportunity for development. Yeah.
And they have a lot more kids, younger kids programs. You know, they have
the football and
softball, baseball all the way up. And basketball teams, too. I think they have youth basketball.
That's really the way that, things have progressed or developed. I don't know if it's great all the time, but these kids are in these development. Jill's son, Markle. He's a freshman in Elmhurst, but he's been in a travel league for baseball.
Oh.
For 3 years. He plays 70 games a year in baseball.
That's what Simon's on a travel team.
Yeah. And so that's the way you have to do it.
She kind of complained a little bit about it being, you know, every weekend. Yep. Every weekend. Well, that's what, and actually them out back there, they play into the end of October, wasn't it?
Pretty much so, yeah. That was a fall league, though.
But it was chilly at some of those.
Oh, yeah.
That was a fall league. They had like a summer.
Yeah, that's true. They had the summer and then the fall. Yeah, you're right. That's right.
But I think they're only taking like a month or month and a half off, and then they're going to start practicing indoors for next spring.
Yep.
But I think what he's going to do next year, I think she's just going to have him do high school baseball next year and not do the travel team. Because some kids do both, and I really don't know how they can do both, but some of those kids do.
Well, you know, Iowa's the only state that has summer baseball or indoor softball, which is good, I think. I always thought that was great to have that opportunity. And all the other states, they play in the spring. Well, the weather then is not really great. So.
Yeah, it's kind of hard on the arms when you're out there pitching and stuff when it's 40 or 50 degrees.
Exactly.
I remember them days.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to sit down with you guys and visit about a lot of the memories from Western Dubuque and other connected topics. So we're going to continue on to talk to other people and see what they have to say.